Welcome. You all right? Great. Friends, we're going to make a start. Alone, it's 5 minutes to go, but that's all right. We can start. Welcome. There's a bit of a discussion we're going to do as this seminar goes on. Let me introduce myself, because I don't think I've met most of you. My name's Adam. I'm the Associate Minister here at All Saints, and one of my jobs is to oversee Sussex Youth Works, so the youth and kids work side of SGP. So that's why I find myself in this room today doing the seminar. Here's what I'd love you to do. I've actually just been over with the little kids all morning, so I can't really answer this question, but you guys in your groups where you are, just chat through from everything that you've looked at this morning, what excites you most about heaven and the new creation? From what Paul was saying, what encouraged you? What excited you? I'll give you a few minutes to chat in your groups. And obviously, there's a why as well, right? What excited you and why? Otherwise, there's no conversation. What excited you and why? 5 minutes. Go for it in your groups. Come in. Nice to see
Yeah, that's a lot of nice.
Right, that's probably enough time to have shared something that was encouraging from this morning. In this seminar, I don't know what it says in the little booklets, but we're going to be thinking about how the new creation affects our lives in the here and now. What difference heaven should make to day-to-day living. And one of the things I think I used to feel quite strongly is that I wanted to enjoy this world. This world is full of really good things, isn't it? And I didn't want to miss out on enjoying the good things in this life, particularly when I was young. I wanted to make the most of my youth, to enjoy the good things in the world while I could. And so one of the things we're going to try and work out in this seminar is how do we enjoy creation now in light of the new creation? And actually, how does the new creation help us to enjoy current creation as much as possible? Here's what I'd love you to do as we begin this. Just brainstorm on your handout. You can do it as a group. The things about this world, the things about this creation that you love. It could be favourite foods, favourite places, favourite activities. Another way to think about it would be if you could design your perfect day in this creation, what would that day look like? Go. 3 minutes. You can do it as a group and as individuals. You're good, Vic. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like it's a British thing.
Right, we'll come back together. I'm sure that's enough time for at least a few of you to have shared with your group what your ideal day would look like. Let me just give you an idea. I think the answer to that question would change almost every time you ask me, right? What's my ideal day? But here's an example. My wife and I used to live in Cornwall. And Kynance Cove was our favourite place in Cornwall. We've got a little scruffy dog. And so I think a perfect day would look like waking up with really good quality coffee, taking our dog for a walk around Kynance Cove in the sunshine, coming back to some really well-cooked pork belly. Pork belly is a wonderful thing. And then maybe finishing off the evening with like a wee dram of my favourite whiskey. That would be a great day. That would be a pretty great day for me. You might have put far more exciting things, bungee jumping or safari or something. I don't know. I want to go for a dog walk in Cornwall. The question is, how do we enjoy these things whilst we wait for Christ to return? If we're meant to be ready for that day that he comes back, if we're meant to be prepared for the day he comes back, if we're meant to keep our eyes focused on the future, which will come like a thief in the night, should we even spend our time indulging in things like pork belly or safaris or whatever? I might love bacon and beaches and puppies, but what role do they have to play in my life while I wait for Christ to return? And before we say what role they do play, I think it's probably important for us to just be clear about what role they don't play, or rather what some of the dangers are with this world now. I think there are two common ways, but wrong ways, for us to enjoy the things of this earth while we wait. Two dangers. The first is that they become a distraction. A danger with lots of these things that I like is that they become a distraction. Humans have got this tendency, don't we, to take good things and become so obsessed with them that they lose sight of Christ. They lose sight of their king. They lose sight of their future. And so as I become obsessed with coffee, say, Coffee ends up taking up my time and my attention. Ever met some of those like massive coffee nerds who spend ages roasting their own beans and grinding them to a certain fineness and setting their coffee machines to exactly the right degree? I could do that. That could easily become me. I love coffee. And the reason that they take up our time and they take up our attention, the things of the earth, is because we have this natural desire for the new creation. And whether we realize it or not, all our desires are aimed at this one thing, being with Christ and glorifying him forever. Because non-Christians don't know Christ, and because Christians still sin, we tend to put our hopes for the future and our desires into the things of this earth. And the problem is, the things of this earth which we aim our desires at cannot ultimately satisfy us. They cannot bring us ultimate satisfaction. And we know that, don't we? Just to pause for a moment and think about it, it becomes a complete sense that how on earth could bacon or pork belly compare to an eternity with Christ? How could Kynance Cove, as beautiful as it is, be anywhere near as good now as it will be in the new creation? How could having a wee dram of my favourite whiskey in the evening compare with Jesus wiping every tear from my eye? And when we think about it, we know it's true, and yet we still allow ourselves to get distracted by the things of this earth. And why? Well, again, I think the answer is fairly simple. It's because they're good. It's because they're nice. It's because they're beautiful, or they're tasty, or they're pleasurable. Now, the reason we get distracted by those things is because they're like little tasters of the new creation. C.S. Lewis was a British author and academic, and he once wrote this. He said, "The books or music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them. It only came through them. And what came through them was longing." The thing we really want, the new creation, can be tasted in this world. And so we cling to the things of the earth. We cling to the taster as if it were the thing we really wanted. It's a bit like Christmas. I think it's all right to start talking about Christmas now. I think we're far enough into November that I can say the C word. It's a bit like at Christmas when you go around the supermarkets with your family, and there are loads and loads and loads of sample stations. You know what I mean? Where you get just a little bit of cheese on a stick, or you get a thimbleful of mulled wine to try, or a tiny square of turkey. And those tasters, they are little samples of the real thing. And you would be mad, wouldn't you, if you were in a supermarket and you tried a little square of turkey with a little dab of gravy on it and loved it, and then rather than buying a turkey, you just went back to the supermarket on Christmas Day for another postage stamp size square of turkey and gravy. That would be mad. You'd be putting the taster above the real thing. But that's exactly what's going on if we allow ourselves to be distracted by things in the here and now. If I let my desire for coffee and countryside walks and Kynance Cove replace my desire for the new creation, I'm picking the taster over the true thing. And God knows that we are susceptible to being distracted, which is why in Colossians 3, Paul gives us this command. "Since you have been raised with Christ, Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. This is a command from Paul for us to set our hearts and minds on things above. To set our hearts and minds on where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. To where our futures lie. And you know, the nature of commands is that we only give commands for things we know people struggle with. Nobody has to give you a command that says don't eat glass, because no human has a desire to eat glass. But we do have to give the command keep off the grass, because you see a perfectly kept lawn and every part of you wants to walk on it. The commands assume that we have a tendency to not do that thing. So Paul is giving us this command to set our hearts on Christ, because he knows that our tendency is to not do that. He knows that our tendency is to get distracted. So don't let the good things of this earth, don't let the tasters of the new creation distract you from being focused on heaven. Set your minds on things above. We're going to help each other in our groups now. Here are a couple of questions. When are you tempted to be distracted by the things of this earth? And can you think of some practical ways in which you could keep focused on things above? I'll give you a bit of time in your groups just to chat through those questions. Go for it.
Hey, I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, like,
Shall we come back together? That'd be great. So there we go. Danger number one is the things of this earth become a distraction. Danger number two, though, is that you ignore them. That you just start ignoring the good stuff that God has made in this world. That you spend all your time reflecting on the new creation, and you never stop to enjoy the good world that God has made in the here and now. Some people do look at the stuff we looked at in the first danger and decide that the best course of action is to disregard the here and now. The problem is that whilst Paul did say, set your hearts on things above, he also said, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. So we're to set our hearts on things above, but we're to recognize that everything God created is good. I want to suggest that those people who become so focused on the new creation that they ignore or miss the current creation are missing out on genuine joy. And they're not seeing genuine goodness, which can be found in the here and now. And that ultimately damages their understanding of the Creator, and it damages their understanding of the new creation. And let me just explain what I mean. Going back to the Christmas supermarket, tasters are good. Now, you'd be mad to wander around the supermarket and not try some of those tasters. They are a good perk of Christmas supermarket shopping. But the second thing that's true is that tasters give us a taste. And that's a very obvious thing to say. Tasters give us a taste. The things of this earth, the lists you made earlier on about your perfect days, are full of good things that God has given to us for our enjoyment. There is real pleasure to be found in coffee, and I'm allowed to enjoy coffee. And there's real pleasure to be found in well-cooked pork belly, and so I'm allowed to rejoice in well-cooked pork belly. It's a good thing that God has given me for my enjoyment. You ever stop and think about how good God is to have given us so much variety within how coffee beans taste, depending on where they were grown and how long they've been roasted for. You know, God would have been really good if he gave us one type of coffee bean that tasted one way, But actually, he's so good, he gave us loads that taste different depending on where they've been grown and in what soil and how much sun they've had. God would have been really good in giving us one type of hop to go into beer to make it taste lovely. But actually, God's given us hundreds of varieties of hops that all taste different and result in different tasting beer. He's really good. He's given us that stuff for our enjoyment. And so it's a danger to ignore them. And this is where we come on to how we use the stuff of this world to help us focus on the new creation. And I think there are two ways we do that. Two ways we enjoy things now that will help us look forward to the new creation at the same time. The first is you look along the beam. Look along the beam. Let me explain. One day, C.S. Lewis, the guy we quoted earlier, was standing in a dark tool shed, and he wrote an essay all about his experience of standing in a dark tool shed. And it's far more interesting than it sounds. Let me put some of it up on the screen for you. I was standing today in the dark tool shed. The sun was shining outside, and through the crack at the top of the door, there came a sunbeam. From where I stood, that beam of light with the specks of dust floating in it was the most striking thing in the place. Everything else was almost pitch black. I was seeing the beam, not seeing things by it. And then I moved so that the beam fell on my eyes. Instantly, the whole previous picture vanished. I saw no tool shed, and above all, no beam. Instead, I saw, framed in the irregular cranny at the top of the door, green leaves moving on the branches of a tree outside, and beyond that, 90-odd million miles away, the sun. Looking along the beam and looking at the beam are very different experiences. Now, Lewis goes on to talk about different ways of experiencing and understanding creation. But this observation has a direct application to how we enjoy the tasters of the new creation. Enjoying coffee by itself, in isolation, is like looking at the beam. But if I tilt my gaze, and if I adjust my thinking slightly, then enjoying a coffee is like looking along the beam, to see the creator and giver of the coffee, to see how it stirs up in me excitement for the new creation. That it is possible that every sip, every taste, every joyful part of this creation can be enjoyed along the beam, as a taster helping us to think about the new creation. There is a real sense in which you don't have to choose between having your heart set on the things above and on enjoying things in the here and now. Provided that you use the things in the here and now to set your heart on things above. John Piper is a well-known American pastor and theologian who read C.S. Lewis's Meditations in a Tool Shed and said this: all of God's creation becomes a beam to be looked along, or a sound to be heard along, or a fragrance to be smelled along, or a flavor to be tasted along, or a touch to be felt along. All our senses become partners with the eyes of the heart in perceiving the glory of God through the physical world. That's the first way you enjoy God's good creation whilst having your heart set on things above. The second way is you use the good things in the here and now to glorify God. We exist in order to glorify God. And one day in the new creation, we will be praising Jesus forever alongside people from every tribe and nation and tongue. Glorifying God It is key to enjoying the things of the earth. And the thing I want to say is you glorify God by enjoying his good creation. Enjoying his creation is the way you glorify him. Or to put it another way, you treasure what you take pleasure in. If you want to know what's really important to me, look at the things which bring me pleasure. I mentioned I used to live in Cornwall. If I take pleasure in Cornish pasties, which I do, then you know I treasure Cornish pasties. They are important to me. When we were down there, there was an article in the papers, the local papers, about a little kid, maybe 4 or 5, who was called Lando the Pasty Boy. Lando the Pasty Boy. And Lando made the papers because his mum filmed it, because she was a jerk. He woke up in the middle of the night in floods of tears because he wanted a Cornish pasty. He was weeping because he just wanted a Cornish pasty. Lando loves Cornish pasties. They are important to him. The way you glorify something or someone is to take pleasure in them or in the things they produce. Think about it like this. The way you glorify a chef is by enjoying his food, enjoying what he's cooked for you. Not in taking photos of it, but in sitting down and enjoying that meal. The way you glorify a director is by watching and enjoying the film he has made. Now, one of the ways you glorify God is by enjoying the creation he's made. Delighting in coffee is delighting in something he's made, and so is glorifying to him. Be happy when playing hockey or football or rugby. Because enjoying those things, enjoying being able to run and play, is glorifying to God who made running and playing. Now, the key thing is to do all of it with an awareness that they are from our glorious God. And it takes effort, but it's actually quite an easy thing to do. Just next time you take a sip of coffee, or you go swimming in the sea, or you run around a sports field, just take a moment to say, thank you, God, for your goodness to me. Thank you for this coffee. I tried to get in the habit when we were down in Cornwall. We used to like going to the south coast. The north coast has very rugged coastline, but the south coast has a load of these lovely coves which are really safe for swimming in. And you could park up at one of these coves and swim like 400 metres out to sea and just be bobbing along, surrounded by beautiful hills, in lovely countryside, peace and quiet. I used to try and get in a habit whilst I was out there of just pausing and going, thank you, God, for your good creation. This is so good. Thank you that I get to enjoy it. Eric Liddell, I'm sure many of you have heard of him, was an Olympic sprinter and then was a missionary to China. He was an Olympic gold medalist, and he encapsulated this idea when he said this: I believe God made me for a purpose, for China, where he went on mission, but God also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Is that wonderful? Running was a way he enjoyed God's pleasure and gave glory to God in turn. Here's another group discussion for us just as we begin to come in to close. Can you think of a time when you've really enjoyed something of this current creation? And then think, how could you have glorified God in that moment? And then secondly, what do you find exciting about the freedom we have to enjoy enjoy the things of the earth in the here and now? Let's spend a few minutes in our groups chatting through those three questions.
Thank you.
Can I encourage us to now put some of this into practice, and in your groups, spend a few minutes giving thanks to God in prayer for the things you've just been talking about, for the things of His creation that you've really enjoyed, the things that you wrote down in that first question that would make up your perfect day. Spend some time in your groups giving thanks to the Lord for the things He's made and given us to enjoy. Go for it. A few minutes in your groups.